Certainly is a lot of truth to that song.
Amen.
All right, you have your Bible open to Ephesians chapter number 5. And I want to begin some Sunday nights talking with you about the family and the home. And you say, well, I already know about all that. Yeah, I know. I understand. Let me tell you some things I want you as we go through this that I'd like to ask you to try to avoid. It's going to happen. Okay, number one. If you're here and you're young, you're going to think, well, you know, this doesn't apply to me. I'm never going to get married. How many people in here that are married at least had that thought one time before you got married? Raise your hand. Okay. So those of you who are thinking you're never getting married, look around you. All right. Number two, don't think, well, we're young and we're in love and just there's nothing that could happen. I mean, we're just so in love and it's just love that pays the bills and, you know. It's just love. And well, now wait a minute. Just, you know, we'll never have any trouble. Well, I don't want to burst your bubble, but you're going to have trouble. And you'll need to listen to the message. Okay? Because that love can take some turns, and you'll need to know how to harness it and garner it and direct it. Amen. And so don't think, well, you know, we're just so much in love that not another Bible message could help us. Well, we could all use some more help in every area of our lives. And that brings me to the final thing I'd like for us to keep in mind as the messages are being preached. And that is, you know, been at this a long time, know all the ins and outs, know what I need to do, and understand what the Scripture teaches, and pretty much settled the end of this is the way it's going to end right here where I'm at. I'm going to ride this train that I'm on right now. Regardless of what track it's on, I'm going to ride this one on in. Well, we always want to leave room for improvement. I heard a man say many years ago, the greatest room in our lives ought to be the room for improvement. And so I want to encourage you to not think, well, you know, I have all the answers or I know all the things to do. It's not enough just to know what to do. Perhaps through the preaching and the teaching of God's Word, He would speak to your heart or my heart and say, you know, it's more than just knowing what to do. Are you doing it? Are you doing what the Scripture has commanded us to do in this matter of marriage? Now, marriage is of God. Now, man has tried to dip his nubby paws into this institution that God has ordained, and he's tried to change it, and he's tried to redefine it, but it doesn't matter what man has done. Marriage is still the union between one man and one woman for one lifetime. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. And he's not going to change. Now you say, now wait a minute, hold everything. I'm here and I've been married and divorced and remarried. Well, let me just go ahead and address this right up front. Okay, number one, marriage is between one man and one woman for one lifetime. Sure. Doesn't matter what your lot is. God hates divorce.
Sure. That's right.
Yes. But now God doesn't hate divorced people.
Right.
And divorced people are not second class people.
Right.
Amen. Right. Now listen to me. Divorced people are not second-class people. You say, well, God doesn't hate divorce. Well, you need to read the Scripture. God hates putting away. He hates it. And so I want you to understand that. So, well, would there ever be a time for it? Well, we might get into that. There are some things that God has written that need to be taught about this divorce, about separation, about reconciliation, about remaining. Paul had a lot to say about these issues. But I want to talk to you about marriage and what it can be. Not what it could be in a train wreck, but marriage and what it can be when people follow the scriptural teachings of the Word of God. Now, I said that if you've been married, divorced, and remarried, these principles can apply to you. When it says, husband, love, look if you would in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. If you're on your third marriage, that applies to you. Amen. Verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That still applies to you. Amen.
Sure.
And so don't think, well, you know, I need to sit in the back of the church. I need to bow my head and feel ashamed. Well, listen, some of you have been remarried for 10, 15, 20 years. Some of you have been remarried more than some folks in the building have been married. Stay in the marriage you're in. Honor God with your life and serve Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So why do you want to get up and talk about God hating divorce, you know, that it offends people. I don't want to offend people. I want to warn these young people, and I want to educate these young people that God's not for these throwaway marriages now. God's not for that. And I want you to know there is a commitment to marriage. There's a commitment to it. And so before you just rush into something, you need to really be praying. And you really need to know that this is God's matter that you're dealing with and God's will. And you want to get a hold of this, all right? So, now with that said, this is for everyone, all right? And I've had people come to me and tell me, well, you know, Pastor, I just feel like I've been married and divorced and I'm remarried and I feel like that I'm a second-class citizen. Can I tell you, God has no second class. Everybody say amen with me. God has no second class. What do you mean second class? You're a child of the King. Amen. There's royal blood flowing in your veins. You're going to heaven. There's no married, divorced, and remarried section in heaven. I'll not be in the church either. Amen. Now, God has some qualifications for positions and leadership positions. But listen, you can serve God with your life, and don't you ever hold your head down like, well, you know what, I'm this or I'm that or I can't or I'm not. It's not about that. I want to help you. You know, we've all made mistakes. We've all done things that we're sorry that we've done, every one of us. Amen. Every one of us. And if there's some things we could do differently, we'd do them differently. But unfortunately, some things we can't go back and undo. So, let's talk about marriage. Let's talk about, tonight we're going to talk about love in marriage. All right? And I told you some time ago that when I put some things together and I've just added to my notes, I've just about filled up this page with stuff, so I'm not going to get through it. But I just want to, lay some groundwork. Marriage. I want to talk about love in marriage. What causes people to love one another? What causes people to have arguments? What causes people to separate? What causes people to divorce? What causes trouble in the home? What causes arguments? What causes all of these things? Well, I want to just take some of this scripture, and I want you and I to apply it to our hearts, and I just want you to do a self-check, all right? I don't know where you are in your home. I don't know where you are in your relationship with your spouse. I know where I'm at, and I know I could be a better husband. All right? I could always do better. I don't ever want to get to the place where I think, well, you know what? I've arrived. I'm it. I don't want to ever get to that place. I want to leave room for growth and improvement. And so here, let's start with this, okay? We're going to start with a commanded love. A commanded love. And usually when you hear about a commanded love, you automatically think, well, you know, the man is commanded to love his wife. And we're going to see another commandment on that. But I want to start here. A commanded love. When marriages start going south, it's usually because there's either a misunderstanding about love or there's no affection shown in the home. And so I want to talk to you about that. I read something, it's been a few years back now, and I shared it with you about this author talked about love banks. And he said, every person, it was his belief. And you know, as I thought about it, I thought, there may be some truth to this, okay? Every person establishes a relationship with other people based on a love bank. Deposits and withdrawals. When that person is kind and does good deeds and they show themselves a friend and they show themselves affectionate toward them, then they're making a deposit in the love bank, and they seem to grow closer to them. But when that person does something that angers them or displeases them or disappoints them, it seems like that they make a deposit or a withdrawal, and it makes them not want to be around that person. And so we kind of decide if we want to be around people, if we don't want to be around people, based on what kind of deposits and withdrawals are being made. And some people have overdrawn their account in our lives, right? And we just see them, we think, well, you know, whoa, here comes that person again. You say, I don't have anybody like that, preacher. Yeah, I know. God bless you. I know. So there's just people that you see them coming and you just think, oh, my. Now, if you'll think about it, those are the people that are constantly making withdrawals and not deposits. You have to be honest. Got to be transparent about these things. You can try to fool yourself all you want. But I want to take that and narrow it down, not in just relationships with others. I want to bring it down into your home, your relationship with your spouse. As I look at these scripture, and I know what the scripture teaches, I see where it's summed up in verse 33. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "Nevertheless, look at, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself." He said, look, men, you need to love your wives. And you need to love her like you love yourself. You say, I don't love myself. Yeah, I know. I've seen all the stuff you buy and all the money you spend on yourself. Don't tell me you don't love yourself. Amen. And ladies are sitting there saying, you get them, preacher. Well, now you love yourself too. The Bible, listen, it's not wrong to love yourself. It's wrong to be in love with yourself. But it's not wrong to love yourself. You ought to take care of yourself and love yourself. Now, the scripture says this. I want you to watch what he says here. He said, now, men, he said, I want you to really focus on loving your wife. Now, what's he want the wives to focus on? Look at verse 33. He said, you wives, I want you to see that you reverence, you respect your husband. Now, this is major. This is God saying this. God is saying, here it is right here. You want a foundation for a healthy and a happy marriage. This is a good foundation right here. Men, you need to love your wives. And we're going to talk about the love in just a moment. And ladies, you need to respect your husband. You should never disrespect your husband. Now, I'm not saying that a man should ever disrespect his wife, but I'm saying here that the Word of God makes it very clear, that it is important if you are going to lead a happy and a healthy life and have a healthy relationship in marriage, this right here is of vast importance. And so he says this. He says in verse number 25, he said, I command you, husbands, love your wives. That's not a suggestion, right? That's not a suggestion. That's not even a recommendation. Love your wives. It's a commandment. You're to love your wives. And then folks say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't say that a woman should love her husband. Well, I'm going to have to differ with you there. And we'll just turn over to Titus chapter 2, and we'll see where the same author of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, Titus chapter number 2, had this to say about wives loving their husbands. Turn to Titus chapter 2, and look, if you would, in verse number 3. He said, now ye aged ladies, all right? And all of you automatically are thinking, well, that's not talking to me. Amen. Somebody said, is there such thing as an aged woman? He said, ye aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Now watch this, teachers of good things. And he said, you know, as someone with some years on you, with some experience behind you, you ought to be teaching the younger ladies the right things. You ought to be teaching them right. You ought to be setting the proper and right example to them. And I want you to notice the very next thing he said, top of the priority list. This is what you should be teaching those younger women, that they might teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. So ladies, you need to be teaching these young women here to love their husbands by what you say and how you act and what you do. And if you're not, you're not only not teachers of good things, you're teachers of sad things. You're teachers of terrible things. And he said not only that, notice what he said, and to love their children. This is missing in our churches today, where the aged men are teaching the younger men and the aged women are teaching the younger women. It's missing in our churches today. We've forgotten that it is important to be an example out there. That's important. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's important. When you leave this church, it's important that you be a good example for Christ. But can I tell you, it's also important that inside of this church, you be a good example for Christ. Because there's young people looking and watching and they're being groomed and developed, whether we realize it or not, by our actions and by what we say and how we live and what we do. They're taking that in. And so he said, now, wives, you need not only to love your husband, but you need to teach other women, those that are younger than you, to love their husbands. Is that what the scripture says? It is. So we go back to Ephesians chapter number 5 now. The love bank. One of the things that I didn't mention when we went through this before is not only is there a love bank that we can make deposits and withdrawals from, but there's love busters. And I want to share with you some things that are destroying marriages. All right? And they're kind of summed up in general terms. Angry outburst. It would probably shock us at the tone and at the aggressiveness and the almost like animal-like arguments where, I mean, people are just in people's face, screaming out, shouting out, even to the point of obscenities and profanities. And then come to church, the next scheduled church service. Screaming, I mean, just call all kinds of names and run down and slander and full of malice. And just lay it on heavy and then get up the next day and go to work like nothing's happened. Hey, I got to tell you something. That's a disgrace. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. If that takes place in your home, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You say, well, preacher, you're not above it. I know I'm not above it. Doesn't matter who's above it and who's below it. It matters who's doing it, who's practicing it. So I want to encourage you. You need to get a handle on that. I can't help it. Well, sure you can. Sure you can. Do you go to work and talk to people that way? Do you talk to your neighbors that way? If you talk to your wife that way and don't talk to your boss that way, then you can help it. Amen. So don't you buy into that. I can't help it. She made me mad and I just gave her what for? Well, now listen, you need to gain control of that. A man that can't control his spirit, he's weak. And so angry outburst. They're busters. All right? They cause a lot of problems. So, preacher, everybody gets angry. I know that. The Bible says that it be angry and sin not. You can get angry. Now listen, I know there's a fine line here, but there is never a cause to start shouting out obscenities and vulgarities and name calling and just tearing and ripping down somebody. That ought not to be named in your home among the believer. Amen. So, well, I've done it. Well, then you need to repent of it and ask Jesus to forgive you, and you need to ask your spouse to forgive you, and you need to, by the grace of God, move on from that. Say amen with me now. Amen. Listen, that's terrible. No wonder folks are living the way they're living. That ought not be named. Angry outbursts. The scripture has a lot to say about it. I could turn to many scriptures. Right here in this book, you could turn back just one chapter in Ephesians 4. The Apostle Paul goes into it in detail. All right? Number two, disrespect. I've already mentioned this one. There ought not be disrespect in our homes, brethren. Disrespect. We ought to respect one another. Right? We can disagree without disrespecting. Is that right? Amen. You can disagree without disrespecting. You don't have to disrespect to disagree. This ruins marriages. Ruins. I know all this, preacher. Yeah, I know. But are you practicing it? I've said when I started this out, you're going to hear some things that you know. But the question is, are we practicing what we know? If there's disrespect in your home, whether it be you to your spouse to you, your children to you, you ought not tolerate that. If one of my children disrespect me, it's on, brother. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. You ought not let your children disrespect you. I've seen children be told what to do and they roll their eyes. Hey, that don't fly. We're going to clip some wings. Amen. That doesn't go. Disrespect should not be allowed in your home. If you allow disrespect in your home, it's going to carry over into the public life. It's going to carry over into the work life. It's going to carry over into their home life when they leave your home. You need to teach no disrespect. You look at me, you answer me. You may not agree with me, but you answer me, yes, sir. No, sir. Show some respect. Don't you murmur when you're walking away from me. Amen. You stand in front of me and you hear what I've got to say, and I'll give you an opportunity to respond if I choose. You're not in control here. That's hard, preacher. Yeah, I know. That's why a lot of folks are not doing it. Look at our society. Look at our society. We've raised a generation of rebels, God haters, Christ deniers, disobedient to parents. Why? Because these busters, these love busters, parents, frivolous, listen, silly, just saying, well, they'll grow out of it. Don't you count on it. Don't you count on it. They have to be trained. And so there ought not be disrespect. And by the way, mama, listen to me. You disrespect your husband, and you can just count on your children disrespecting you. Dad, you disrespect your wife, go ahead and just chalk it up. They're going to disrespect you. Disrespect is cult as well as taught. And so disrespect. Number three, dishonesty. Dishonesty. Well, come here, children. I'm going to tell you something. Now, don't tell Daddy. Well, you know, it seems like to me Isaac and Rebecca got in a little trouble over that. So you be careful. The Scripture's full of this now. I could give you scriptural example after scriptural example, but I'm just highlighting some things to lay some groundwork here. There's some things that have crept into our Christian homes, brethren, that it's killing us. It's cutting off the lifeline of healthy and happy homes. And there's marriages that are in trouble. There's homes that are full of sorrow and pain and hurt instead of joy and celebration, what God intended the home to be. So number three, dishonesty. You ought to be honest. You ought to be honest with one another. If you're dishonest with your spouse, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You need to get that right with God tonight. If you're dishonest, you ought to make that thing right now. Listen to me, young man, young lady. Your preacher's not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil. He is ruining our homes. And he's trying to get his foot in the door of this church. But by the grace of God, I'm going to stomp his foot every time he steps it in here. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to stand idly by and not equip you and warn you of what's going on.
Amen.
The devil's active. He's just as active, and he's got you in his crosshairs. He's got you in his target. Hear me now. And he wants you to be dishonest with one another. The Bible says we ought to speak the truth in love.
Amen.
We ought to speak truth every man with his neighbor. You ought to be truthful with your family.
Amen.
You ought to tell your husband the truth. You ought to tell your wife the truth. You say, well, preacher, what does she ask me if I look good in this dress? Does this dress make me look big? Well, you know, y'all to be able to speak the truth in love and say, you know what? You're beautiful. Honesty is what God is looking for. Don't be dishonest. Your children will pick that up from you, folks. Listen to me. And I think each one of you know this. Our kids are sponges. We love our kids. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
I love the children of this church. They're little sponges. They're just walking about these properties and this grounds, and they're just taking in, they're soaking in everything they see and hear. And we need to be cautious. These little bundles of joy, listen, they're bundles of eternity. They have a life of promise ahead of them. And we need to be cautious how we invest in that, especially we parents and grandparents. So, number one, did you write it down? Angry outbursts. If that takes place, you say, well, preacher, don't you have angry outbursts? I do. I try to go out in the woods and let it out. Every now and then one slips out in the home. I didn't say profanity now. Listen, if you're saved and you use profanity, you have a dirty heart. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You know? There'll be no curse words and profanity slipping out. That's ridiculous. You have a dirty heart. Call it what it is and get right with God. But now everyone gets angry. We just need to pray, God, help me not to sin. Help me not to cross that line. All right? But I'm talking about angry outbursts where you have come to the place in your life where you have justified just telling everybody in your family, you know, just running down people and screaming out, name calling. That ought not be named in your home. Get that right. Number two, get this right, okay? Get this right as far as disrespect. No disrespect in the home. Number three, dishonesty. Ought not be named in your home. Selfishness. And this will be the one where we get over into another category here. Selfishness. I don't know that in my life that I've ever seen a time of selfishness like I see now. As a matter of fact, I read something a couple of months ago. When I first read it, it really struck me and I thought, what? And I had to read on. The headliner said, in order to have a good marriage, you need to get a divorce. I thought, what in the world? You know. Now you think about that. If you were to read that, what would you think? I think this guy's a liberal. But that was the headliner. That was the caption. I'm going to teach you to have a good marriage, a healthy marriage. But in order to have a healthy marriage, you're going to have to get a divorce. Dot, dot, dot. And then in small print below that, from yourself. I said, whoa. Now, this is getting interesting. Some people are so married to their self, they can't be married to their spouse. They're so selfish. You listening? I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying these are problems in our home. I'm not saying you have every one of them. I'm just saying we have to guard against this. There's a devil out there, and he has got just both barrels, shooting the heavy artillery at us, brethren. Coming at us. And he'll get you so enthralled and so engrossed in you and what you want and how you want it that you'll not love your mate, you'll not love your wife as Christ loved the church. You'll not love your family. You'll be so in love with you that you can't invest in the lives of others that God's put in your life. I don't want to be that way. And I know that you don't want to be that way. And yet there's an enemy that's trying to get me to be that way. I hear it all the time. Are you hearing it? You deserve it, girl. Really? Boy, you deserve the world. Really? What have I done to deserve that? Are you hearing this talk that the devil's putting out there that many Christians are buying into? Your eyes and your ears open? Are you looking across the horizon and see what's out there? You deserve some me time. Just go out and enjoy yourself. Well, if you've got a family, how about enjoying your family? Right. Amen. Invest in them. Amen. Hey, you had them. You had those youngins. Invest in their lives. You married that man. Invest in his life. You married that gal. Give her all of you. Amen. No, we've gotten into this thing where, well, you know, just, I tell you, life's hard. We live in a society of a bunch of sissies. I seen something the other day and I laughed at first and then I got real sad. It said, men, you better train your boys to be men for the world trains them to be women. Right. Yeah. Amen. Boy, isn't it so though? Listen, there was a time when if somebody said that, I'd have thought, what in the world? But that's where we are. That's where we are. Our homes. Husbands, love your wives. It's commanded. This is not a suggestion. So let's talk about this love. I want to give you two things and then we'll pick up here next week. I want you to write them down. In this commanded love, in this verse of Scripture, I see the nature of love, and then I see the need of love. And I want to talk to you about these things. Let's look at the nature. All right, look at it. Husbands, love your wives. Well, listen, the nature of that love, it doesn't take a whole lot. That's romantic love. Now, I'm going to keep this on our level, so I want you to just don't get nervous now. I understand who's in the congregation tonight, okay? And I try to keep things very discreet. But the Word of God instructs me as a husband, my wife as the wife, it instructs us as a couple to have romantic love. See, every person, I want you to, you know what I'm saying, but I want you to just process this. Every person has needs, and they're looking to have those needs met. And in romantic love, there's needs that are met that God has. God now, God, I didn't say the world, I didn't say the devil, I didn't say the flesh. God has built those needs in us. And God will bring the right person in our life that can meet those needs and that we can have those needs met by that person. Amen. And by the way, I know I don't have to say this to you, but you know, there may be somebody watching that. If you are a man, that person that God brings into your life will be a woman. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. And I preach you didn't have to say that. I know I didn't have to, but I wanted to. Because we got a bunch of people that are mixed up. I don't want any of these young people around here getting mixed up. Don't want you getting mixed up. Well, you know, preacher, people just born a certain way. Yeah, I know, born a sinner. No telling what a sinner might do. And so we want to help them to understand that sinners need Jesus so they can make the right decisions and do the right things on every level, that one included. Amen. So the nature of love is romantic love. Now, what is romantic love? Now, listen to this. Romantic love is what we experience when someone meets our needs. Romantic love is very, listen, it's something that God has ordained. It's something that should be carried out in every home. You should not be ashamed. Now, I'm not one for public displays of love, okay? Now, listen, I've made this very clear before. I'm kind of a private guy. And I just don't, you're not going to see me take Sharon and lay a big wet, you know, and just bend her over and just go in the aisle of the church or that you're not going to see that, okay? Just keep that stuff at home. So, well, can you just at least send us a picture of it? No. No. I'm not going to do that. Well, you know, everybody's doing it, preacher. No, they're not either, because I'm not. Not going to do it. I think that kind of stuff needs to stay at home. Now, listen, if you want to hold hands with your wife, hold hands with your wife. If you want to reach over and give her a little, you know, a little kissy on the cheek, or she wants to give you a little chicken peck, you know, okay. But don't make us have to change the rating on your scene. Amen. Well, I just want my wife to know that I love her. Well, good, you let her know, but you don't have to let me know that. Not that way. Amen. Not that way. There's other ways. Just tell me, I love my wife, preacher. I believe you. You don't have to show me, show her. Amen. So, romantic love. I want to ask you a question. I'm not trying to pry into your life. I'm not. I just want you to ask yourself this question. How is that in your home? Do you consider that your spouse has needs that God has placed you in their life to meet? I sure hope so. If you're married, I sure hope so. If you're so married to yourself that you don't realize that person that you married has needs that God gave you to them to meet, you need to get right with the Lord tonight, because you are opening the door for the devil. And the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Be really careful. Amen. Romantic love. Now, romantic love is more of an attraction, right? It's more of an attraction. It's kind of what gets things going. Would you agree with that? Husbands, love your wives. Romantic love speaks of like an attraction. It's when you're attracted. It's something that you see and something that you act on. That's romantic love. Oh, not me, preacher, not me. I got my wife. I didn't even want to see a picture of her. I got her to send me a test in the mail before I even saw her. I wanted to find out what kind of intellect she had before I seen her. That's how prioritized I am. Yeah, I know. You're something else. Romantic love deals more with attraction. But now there's another kind of love, and I want you to listen to me. What kind is it? Is your wheels turning? It's very important. I'll tell you something about this love. It's in this verse of Scripture right here. It has to do with and gave himself. All right, romantic love starts relationships. But this kind of love sustains relationships. Please listen to me. For that person that's sitting in here thinking right now, I am so in love. Oh, this will never end. I pray to God it never does. But now you're going to have something more than romantic love. Yes. Yes. See, romantic love is an attraction. This love is an action. It's called caring love. All right? Do you see when it says, husbands, love your wives? I believe that is a romantic love. Husbands, love your wives. Now watch this. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That is a caring love. That is a love that is put into action. It's action. Now, what's the difference in romantic love and caring love? Well, romantic love is mainly based on attraction. Caring love is mainly based on action. Romantic love is how can you meet my needs? Caring love is how can I meet your needs? You following me? Amen. You say, oh, preacher, you're moving too fast. Write it down. You need this. You say, oh, I don't need this. I have all the answers. Yeah, I know. I know. See, that's the reason some folks will always have problems. It's because they think they have all the answers. We all need help in this area. And so even if you know this, maybe we just need to be reminded, I have some responsibilities in my relationship that God expects me to fulfill as part of my relationship with Him. Amen? Romantic love. The nature of this love. It's romantic. It's attraction. It's realizing that the person that, and by the way, I want to say this. I want to say it to all these young people. Please listen to me. If you don't hear anything else the preacher says tonight, please listen to this. When I was growing up, many of the people that are sit here in church with you tonight will tell you this is so. There was a great emphasis placed on this, finding the right one. How many of you remember that? You know, whether your parents, your preacher, your teacher, your guidance counselor, you know, find the right one. Find the one for you. Find the right one. And that is important. But now here's something that was left out. And God just made this so clear to me. I think more important than finding the right one, young people, listen to me. Be the right one. Be the right one. Because you're going to attract, as you are the right one, you're going to attract that one that could be the right one. If you're not the right one, you're just liable to attract the wrong one. Be the right one. Amen? Young men, please listen to me. The devil would love to destroy your lives. Young ladies, he would love to destroy your lives early so that you have a mess to live through for the remainder of your life. Be the right one. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? Serve the Lord with your life. Pray. Yield your bodies as instruments of righteousness unto Christ. And let God send you the right one. And if you'll be the right one, I think it'd be really, really less difficult to find the right one. So let me close with this. We've seen the nature of this love. We said it's romantic love. And then we said there's caring love, okay? Now, caring love, it acts. It just doesn't feel. Romantic love is a lot of feeling, a lot of emotion. Caring love is more volition, all right? Romantic love is a lot of emotion. It happens. There's emotion. But now, caring love is volition. You understand what I'm saying? You make a deliberate decision, I am going to care for you. You know who you love? Who you choose to love. I'm about tired of hearing these folks say, I just couldn't help it. I fell in love with him. I know I'm married. No. You can help it. You get to choose who you love. How do you know that, preacher? Because God said, hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and thy might. It sounds like he's saying, Israel, you get to choose who you're going to love, and I'm telling you, choose to love me. Is that right? You get to choose who you love and who you don't love. Now, some people are easy to love. I get it. And I think that's what we mean by that. You know, I can't help it. They're just easy. They're easier to love than other people. The need, and this is where we'll close, the need of this love, the need of this love. Romantic love may bring you together, but caring love is what's going to keep you together. See, romantic love is, I have needs and you can meet them. But caring love is, you have needs and I want to meet them. It's, by the way, caring love produces romantic love. So I don't believe that. Well, I challenge you. I challenge you. This week, don't do it because the preacher said so. This week, you take that approach, the caring love. My spouse has needs, and I'm going to be kind. I'm going to go out of my way. I just want to be a better wife. I want to be a better husband. Now, some men are sitting here right now, and they're thinking, there's no way I'm going to do that. Okay. Can't make you do anything. Can't. Don't know that I would if I could. Well, I probably would some things. But if you really, really want to put God to the test, instead of you thinking about how your needs can be met through romantic love, think about your spouse. This is for the men and the women. How your spouse could, their needs could be met through your caring love. Be kind. Take them a cup of coffee in the morning. Right? Do something special for them. Just do something special. You know what your mate enjoys. Say, yeah, I do, and I'm going to do everything I can not to do it. Well, shame on you. Shame on you. You ought to know what your mate likes, and you ought to do everything you can to meet those needs within reason. And we could name lists on both sides, male and female, what a man could do for his wife and a wife could do to show care and love. It'll go a long way, not only in helping your marriage, but if there's children in the home, it'll go a long way in showing your children that the home can be a little heaven on earth. And not a little hell on earth. How many of our precious little children, I don't mean just here now, I don't know. I don't know what goes on in your home. I don't, in case you tell me. But you better be careful. Your children are telling them upstairs. You're part of their prayer request. Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet. I have to share this with you. Sharon's not in here, so I can say it. Sharon, if you're watching back there, wherever the camera is, if you're watching, I'll make it up to you. As hard as this may be for you to believe, one time me and Sharon got in an argument. Just one time. I know. I'm the love doctor, right? Listen. Sharon and I have disagreements. We have arguments. We don't shout and scream at one another. I get stern. Sharon knows who's the leader of our home. I'm not saying that as a bully. I listen to her. But listen, and young men, please, if lead your homes. Don't put that responsibility on your wife. God didn't build your wife to lead the home. You be the leader of your family and your home. Wives, let them lead. Amen. Quit trying to take the reins from your husband. But anyway, so we had an argument, and where's Michael at? Michael? I don't know. Michael's probably 5 years old at that time. And so he goes to church. And listen, these how many of you work with children in the church? Raise your hand. You've gotten these kind of prayer requests, okay? You know what I'm talking about. So Michael goes to church, and there's, I don't know, I seen like a half a dozen women talking to Sharon after the service, and I thought, what's going on over there? And so I found out later, she came home, and she said, I am I've never been so embarrassed. And I said, what happened? She said, Michael. I thought, oh, goodness, what has he done now? Michael went to church, and he said, he raised his hand. He was taking prayer requests. He said, yeah, pray for my mama. She's sick and tired. She got sick and tired of the preacher, amen? And she's letting me know about it. But, you know, those things happen. They happen. We're human. Listen, like you. But you can have disagreements without being disrespectful. Amen. You don't have to start shouting down one another and obscenities and name-calling. That doesn't have to happen. You don't have to be dishonest. You don't have to be selfish and say, well, I'll show him. He's sleeping on the couch. Yeah, are you really showing him? You're teaching some terrible lessons. You're giving the devil a place in your home, in your marriage, and I want to encourage you now. Don't do that. Could I get you to bow your head? I know it's kind of everywhere tonight, but I just have some things on my heart, and I'm gonna bring this down into some structure, and I'm going to talk to you about your home and your marriage. It's important, folks. Sir, you ought to grab your wife by the hand, your family, and say, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, the devil's not getting my family, preacher. I'm fighting for my family. I'm praying that God would just put a shield over my family, that the hand of God would be over my home. I'm praying. Say, preacher, I didn't give up on my home. Well, I want to encourage you, don't do that. Don't let the devil win. Don't do that. You say, well, you just don't know the pain. You don't know what's going on. And you're right, I don't. I don't. But there's a God in heaven who cares. And he does. He does. Let him help you. Say, preacher, I done messed up. I done messed my life up. Well, you know, that happens sometimes. But can I tell you, there's no mess too great that God can't clean up. There's no situation too far gone that God can't bring back. Let God get involved and help you, would you? Would you? God loves you. He wants what's the very best for you. He really does. And he's laid down some good instruction for us in his word. Here, just one simple command. Husbands, love your wives. And you aged ladies, you teach these younger ladies to love their husbands and their children. Yield to their loving leadership. Allow them to lead the family. Fathers, be the priest of your home.